Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. You are our Heavenly Father, and we give you the praise. Every day we bless you. The Bible says, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. And let everything that hath breath praise the name of the Lord. And Lord, we want to thank you and praise you this morning. We give you all the glory. And we pray, Lord, that you enlighten our minds with the word of God this morning. And help us to understand the word that you will have us hear this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Like people who are excited in here this morning. Come on, people. I like it when people are excited about the Lord. Well, you know, I preached on this message before, but I was thinking, you know, sometimes I go back and listen and review some of the messages that I preached, and I invite some of you to do that too, actually everybody. The messages are on the website, you know, and, you know, when I'm thinking about each service, you know, I always commit myself to prayer and the word, you know, to make sure that, you know, the Lord gives me a word for the people so that everybody can get blessed. Amen? You know, so we want you in every service to get a blessing. You know, I've touched on this before under a different title, but I'm going to preach today on the anatomy of faith. The anatomy of faith. That means, you know, how is faith composed? You know, what does it look like? You know, what's the breakdown? You know, so forth like that. You know, I'm going to start here in Luke chapter 17. I'm preaching on the teaching. I actually be teaching a little bit more teaching than preaching this morning. The anatomy of faith. I'm starting here in Luke chapter 17. You know, the disciples, they asked Jesus, their apostles, in verse 5 of Luke 17, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You know, so that's not a new question. You know, people are wondering, you know, how their faith may be increased. Well, I'm going to give you today how that's done. You know, and it's not exactly, and the answer the Lord gave to them here, see, you know, the Lord is saying pretty much here, he said, look, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you know, then you might say unto this mountain, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Well, that may be a little over your heads this morning, but by the end of this message, it won't be at all. You know, so we're going to find out how that is, you know. But what the Lord is saying is this. Now, the request from the apostles was to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord is saying, look, it's not about increasing your faith. It's about you using what you already have. Remember the message from last week, what is in your hand? You know, so this goes right with that. You know, he's saying, look, use what you have. The way that your faith increases is when you use it. Hallelujah. And if you don't use it, well, there's no point praying for any increase of faith. And he's saying, look, even if your faith was as little as the grain of a mustard seed, you know, instead of you looking for the big tree, you know, take that little seed and put it to work. Amen? That's right. If you plant that little seed and do some things, you know, then that thing is going to grow. You know, so, you know, but people are sometimes looking for that big, the end result. You know, the Lord is saying, look, use what you already have. You know, but I'm going to make it simple for everybody here this morning. Because some people ask me, you know, well, you know, I don't have faith and so forth. And people wonder, you know, how it is to have faith. So I'm going to make it simple for us this morning. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, right away we see that faith has a substance to it. It's not exactly abstract. You know, it has a substance to it. It is the evidence of things not seen. Well, you know, that's one definition. You know, but I'm going to give you a different definition this morning. Well, it's going to tie with that as well. It's not contrary to it. But it takes that and expands on it and helps you break it down, you know, so that you can understand it. I remember Jesus always, he broke things down, made it simple, you know, and, you know, so I'm going to give you some acronyms this morning, or at least especially one acronym that I'm going to focus on, you know, and then it'll help you to, even the little children, if you pay attention to this message, because of the acronyms that I'll give you, you know, it'll help you to figure out exactly how faith works. Now, faith itself is spelled F-A-I-T-H. That's faith. Well, you know, that can stand for any number of things, you know, but for me, I like to say, for anything, I trust him. Amen. Praise God. So for anything, I trust him. So that's a, if you look at faith as an acronym, which is F-A-I-T-H, and then you can look at it as for anything and for always, I trust him. Praise God. So that's one way of looking at faith. You know, that's F-A-I-T-H, for anything, I trust him. But here is the one that I want to talk about today. And a similar message to this will be found on the website called The Essentials of Faith, which I believe I preached September of 2009. You might want to listen to that. But today we're talking about the anatomy of faith, and we're going to see, package it a little bit differently. Still in Hebrews chapter 11, what I want to talk to you about today is based out of verse 13 of Hebrews 11. And I'm going to give you the following acronym that spells the word speck, as in S-P-E-C. Now that's S-P-E-C. So that's speck. So I want everybody to write that down. I say it's going to be a little more of a teaching than preaching this morning, but I want you to write down the word speck. This is how faith works. I'm going to break it down for you today. Now, everybody has their own gifting from the Lord, you know. But this is one area, by the grace of God, that I know a little something about. Amen? Amen, people? Well, you can't give what you don't have. You know, but I know a little something about this. In fact, every one of us has faith. The Bible says we are given everyone a measure of faith. You know. But some people are born, you know, a different way with a gift of faith. You know, where everything that God does is already in you. We proved that already in a previous message last week. You know, and so on like that. You know, but some people can believe God, you know, more, you know, than others. And some people wonder and say, well, you know, why is it that I can't seem to believe God? Well, you know, that was then. But today, you're all going to find out exactly how to believe God and make your faith work. Amen? Amen? Amen, people? Are you awake, church, this morning? All right. So, I'm going to make it very simple. Let's read Hebrews 11 and 13. These all died in faith. Now, you can read the whole chapter. It's kind of like the Hall of Fame of the spiritual warriors. The Hall of Fame, you know, or the Annals of Faith, you know, for them. So he talked about all their exploits and various things, you know, and so forth like that. The whole chapter is talking about faith. But I like this verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But here we go with the spec. But having seen them afar off, that's the S. They saw the promises afar off. So the first letter in our spec is to see the promise. Amen? And then he said, and then they were persuaded. That's the P for persuaded. And then they embraced them. That's the E for embrace. And then they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's the C for confess. So I want everybody to say with me, spec. S, P, E, and C. Now, S is for to see the promise. And I'm going to give you some scriptures for each one of these. You know, I want you to, you know, just ingrain this in your mind. It's faith is as simple as these four things. It's just as simple as that. So don't be worrying about whether you have faith. If you can do these things that I'm going to itemize here this morning, your faith will work. And you will get the results. It is pure and simple. And the Lord wanted me to teach it this morning. Now, S. You have to see the promise. Now, how do you see the promise? Now, I want you to know that for faith to be valid, it has to be based on the Word of God. You cannot just have faith in faith. Or faith, I mean, I don't know. You know, but you got to have faith in the Word of God. So Jesus himself said in the book of John chapter 5 and verse 39. Now this is a teaching this morning, so I'm taking it a little bit slow. John 5 and 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures. That's the S. Search the scriptures. For in them you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, he said. So search the scriptures. That's the S. Now how do you see the promise? You search the scriptures. So here is how it works. If you believe in God for something, you need to search the scriptures for a promise that relates to what you are believing. Amen? It's as simple as that. Now, if God promised it, that's your first step. Find a promise that relates to what you are believing. Now, if God hasn't promised it, well, I don't know. I don't know what your chances are of receiving it. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I don't know about that. But if God has promised it, if it's in the Word as a promise, then you can base your faith upon that. Paul also writing to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he's going to tell him also to take heed to the scriptures. Take heed to the scriptures is what he's going to tell him in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. I mean, it's pretty much what he's saying there, even though he doesn't say it exactly in those words. Here's what he said. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. See, this is the same thing that Jesus said. He said, look, you search the scriptures because you, in them you think you have salvation. And they are they which testify of me. So we are being pointed to search the scriptures. Now that is the S. Search the scriptures and find a promise of God. Now I want to also tell you that most promises in the Bible come with some conditions. Hello? You know, most promises come with some conditions. Well, there are some unconditional you know, promises in the Bible. You know, but most promises for you, at least on your everyday life, come with conditions. You know, for instance, you know, the promise that says, I will not put upon you any of these diseases that are upon the Egyptians in Exodus 15 and 26, because I am the Lord that healeth thee. That promise comes with certain conditions. And the conditions are, if you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight, and obey his voice, and keep all his statutes, then I will not put upon you any of these sicknesses and diseases which are brought upon the Egyptians, because I am the Lord that healeth thee. So, you know, some promises may carry certain conditions. So you have to look at the conditions as well. But generally, you must find a promise for what you are believing. And everybody say, search the scriptures. And that's for S. Okay. The next thing is, be persuaded. Now, this is how faith works. Remember, the topic today is the anatomy of faith. So we're breaking it down, you know, so you don't think that faith is some abstract or complex thing that you cannot, you know, attain. It's very simple. These follow these steps, and you will get the answers every single time. Hallelujah. Be persuaded is the next step. What does it mean to be persuaded? Well, when you see that promise in the Bible for what you are believing for, you know, then you must be persuaded that God is able to keep his promise. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. That part of the process is actually non-negotiable. Hello? That part of the process of faith working in you is non-negotiable. For you to be persuaded that God is able. Why? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, a famous verse which everybody quotes, without faith it's impossible to please God. Well, but right behind that it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's the persuasion. And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So you must be persuaded that God is going to keep that promise. Amen. In the book of Romans chapter 4 and verses 20 and 21. Now again, I'm teaching this morning, so I'm taking it slow. He's talking about Abraham, who many people refer to as the father of faith. Well, he says in verse 20 of Romans 4, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So unbelief will make you stagger at God's promise, because you will think, well, you don't know whether it's going to be or not. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Now that's that word again. He was persuaded, you know, that what he had promised, in other words, he was persuaded that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. Can I get an amen on that? You must be persuaded that what God has promised, he also is able to perform. And why should you be persuaded? Well, the answer is very simple. In 2 Corinthians, and I'm taking it slow so you can write this down, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20 will tell you why you can be persuaded that God is able to keep his promises. Here's what it says. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises. That's not some of the promises. That's not 99% of the promises. For all the promises of God. Can I get somebody to say all? That's right. All the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So there is no perhaps, there is no maybe, there is no whatever, you know. It is every promise of God, every promise, all his promises are yea and amen. So, that is the guarantee that helps you to be persuaded. God has already said it. You know, so all his promises. So once you find a promise, you know, check it out in the Bible. Do your homework before you pray. Don't waste your time praying if you can't find a promise for what you are believing. You know, because if God hasn't promised it, maybe he won't do it. So spend a little time, do your homework, search the scriptures, find a promise. Amen. That's right. Find a promise. Hallelujah. And also, you know, find a precedent. you know, precedent, something God has done before. You know, that will help you. You know, even in the court of law, you know, they'll come out with, you know, the precedents, you know, something that has happened before, and they'll try to use that to argue their case and so forth. Well, you know, that's just in the natural. You know, for God, really, you know, once you start walking your faith, God doesn't need any precedents. Amen? I have come to believe that all my life. I now understand it after many years of walking with God in faith. I understand it perfectly. That even if I don't see where God has ever done it before, it makes no difference to me at all. Because I know that He is able to do all things. So once I know that one, I don't care whether He has done it before or not. You know, I'm sure He may have done it. Maybe it wasn't recorded. Maybe I don't find it. But that doesn't matter. And in fact, you know, I'll tell you something too. You know, even if God has never done it before, amen, if you believe it, that can be the first time that He'll do it. Amen. Oh, well, you know, at the time of Joshua, I don't believe that anybody had ever stopped the sun or the moon, you know, but Joshua didn't care about that. He didn't say, well, you know, I don't see any precedent in the Bible where God ever did it. You know, he said, well, I've got some business to take care of. And I need more daylight. I can't win this battle if the sun goes down right now. You know, so, you know, sun and moon, are you on my side or are you against us? Well, you know, the sun said, well, you know, hey, we are servants of the Lord, just like you said. In that case, stand still. Amen. Stand still. You know, he didn't pray. He spoke to the sun. He spoke to the moon. Said, thou sun, stand still over there, and thou moon, stand still until I finish my business. Praise God. And the Bible says, my goodness, you know, God loves those kinds of challenges. Hello? But let me pause here and say something about the way Jesus looks at faith. There are various kinds of faith, and I preach faith sideways, upside down, any kind of way in this church. You know, I preached it, you know. And there's all kinds of faith. I preached on that too. You know, but, you know, Jesus was never impressed with little faith. Hello? He always used to rebuke them. O ye of little faith, why is it that you have no faith? You know, in that case, when Jesus was talking about the little faith, it's because they were not actually applying any faith at all. It wasn't because, you know, they didn't use the little they had. If they would have used the little they had, it would have been okay. But, you know, they were not even using the little they had. So Jesus was never impressed with that. He never was. He rebuked them all the time. How long will I be with you before you believe? You know. But he was always impressed with great faith. Hallelujah, somebody. In Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 15, you will find two stories where Jesus was impressed with great faith. You know, and every time that there is great faith, Jesus, he always acknowledged that, and he was always impressed. In Matthew chapter 8, you'll find the story of the centurion whose servant was sick. And this man, he came and asked for Jesus, you know, to work a miracle to heal his servant that was sick. But he said, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not even exactly worthy for you to come to my house. So, you know, but all I want for you to do is just speak the word only. Hello? Up to that time, nobody has ever said that to Jesus. Just speak the word only. And this man, he came and said, look, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But just speak the word. Because look, you know, I'm a military man, he told the Lord. Say, I'm a military man, and I understand how the chain of command works. Amen? In the military, there is a chain of command. Amen? When your commanding officer gives you an order, you do it. It's as simple as that. No questions asked. Amen? Hallelujah. Does anybody understand that that's the way it is in the military? Yeah, that's the way it is. You know? Praise God. You know, if you don't do it, you are in big trouble. You know, so he said, look, I am a man that I am in the military, and I understand the chain of command. I have 100 soldiers under me. That's what centurion means. You know, and when I say to one, go and do this, he does it without any questions asked. And when I say to the other, do this, he does it. He has to carry it out. Amen. Oh my. And then he said, well, and I understand that you are also a spiritual commander. So I want you to command something in the spirit. You don't need to come to my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, my goodness, I have never seen so great faith. No, not even in Israel. So he was impressed by that kind of faith, because the man challenged the Lord to do something that nobody else had asked the Lord to do before. Nobody else had asked him before. Just speak. They used to say, come and lay hands on them. Come to my house and heal the sick. Come and this man said, look, you don't need to come. Just speak the word. Hallelujah, somebody. So you can be a little radical with your faith. Never mind the norm. Never mind what people believe or think they can happen and so forth. You know, go to no limits. Take your faith beyond, you know, the limit of unbelief. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus was impressed with that man. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a woman, a Greek. In another place, she's called a Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was seriously vexed with the devil. And she came to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, can you heal my daughter and so forth? And the Lord didn't pay her any attention, you know. And she kept, you know, bothering and so on. And so the Lord wanted to bring out a point. So the Lord said to her, look, you know, we cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. You know, that's what he says in Matthew. In Luke, he says, well, let the children first be filled, and then, you know, and so on. So this woman, when he said that, look, I cannot take the children's bread and give to dogs. Now, that statement was enough to put anybody else off, but not this woman. This woman said, well, true. And that's correct, Lord. But he said, look, even the dogs will eat the crumbs that fall from that table. And he said, the crumbs are good enough for me if I am a dog. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus said, and Jesus was just, you know, Jesus already knew what he was doing. Just wanted to bring that out, you know. And Jesus looked at her and said, my goodness, you know, thy faith has made thy daughter to be whole. Praise God. So those are two examples of where Jesus was impressed. Of course, there was an example where he was not impressed at all. You know, when the disciples, he told them, let's go over to the other side. And if they would have listened to what he said, they would not have panicked on the way. But they didn't pay attention to his word. Because his word was, let us go over to the other side. Not, let's go and perish in the middle of the sea. But anyway, the tempest rose in the middle, and they were afraid. Now, the Lord was sleeping in the back. He didn't care anything about the tempest. Amen? Amen, somebody. You know, the Lord did not care anything about the tempest, because he already said, we are going over to the other side. Period. And they are going to the other side. You know, so he was just going to sleep through the storm. But these people panicked. And because of it, you know, and they came and, you know, challenged the Lord. Lord, why don't you care? We are about to perish. And that's exactly the same thing today. When people have problems today, they think it is because the Lord doesn't care. Well, maybe the Lord is waiting for you to exercise your faith. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Especially, you know, when you've been around the Lord, supposedly, for any length of time. Those of you that have little kids, you know how it is when you've just got a little baby. You know, if they cry, you jump. Amen? Oh, yeah. You know, even if they're in a different room and you have your little baby monitor there and so forth, if you hear any kind of sound, you run there, you know, and so forth. Well, you know, pretty soon when that baby begins to get a little older, you know, and so forth like that, you know, well, when they cry, you don't jump as quickly anymore. Hello? Yeah, you don't jump as quickly. You know, you just say, hey, you know, you'll be all right. You'll shake it off. You know, sometimes they fall, they kind of, oh, he'll shake it off, you know. So I've seen parents do that, you know. I mean, if you do that with your kids, I mean, think about the Lord too. You know, those of you who have been around the Lord expects certain things of you. You know, don't go, you know, blaming the Lord for every little crisis or tempest or storm that comes to your life. God wants you to handle the situation, and he knows you can handle it. Because there shall no temptation come against you that is greater than your strength. So the Lord was sleeping because he had confidence in the disciples that they take care of business. So he went to sleep. But they let him down. And he was not impressed. So he rebuked them. First he rebuked the disciples, and then he rebuked the storm. Amen? So don't show the Lord, you know, unbelief. He might rebuke you. You know, so, you know. So let's get back on point here. So we've seen how to search the scriptures for the promise of God, and we've seen how to be persuaded for the scriptures, that the scripture that God is able to fulfill the promises, because his promises are yea and amen. Now, everybody say E. Come on now, everybody say E. That's the next letter in our spec. That's the embrace. You know, so you got to embrace the promise. You know, it's not just, yeah, God is able to do it, but, you know, maybe he's not going to do it for me. That's not embrace. You must embrace the promise for yourself. Not just that. We know, I mean, most people somehow know, or somehow, you know that God can do all things, you know, somehow, you know, somewhere in their mind, they know that. But they don't embrace it. That's why God doesn't really do all things for them. Hello? But when you embrace the promise for yourself, and you don't let go, you hold on. Praise God. You hold on. You lay hold. You know, the Bible says, lay hold on eternal life. You hold on. You don't let go. You take a hold of the promises of God. You know, the Bible says, having, you know, received these precious promises, we faint not. We don't faint because we have so many precious promises. We take a hold of the promises. We embrace. Now, how do you embrace promise? You wake up in the morning and you embrace the promise of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You said, well, you know, I know that today is going to be a good day for me. Because the day was created for man and not man for the day. Therefore, this day shall be subject to me as I follow the Lord. And you declare good things to yourself. You know, you say, I know the Lord has said, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. So today, the lines shall fall unto me in pleasant places. You declare the word of God for yourself. You embrace it. You say, oh, you know, maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's any other thing. You say, well, you know, take for example, sickness. You may be facing a chronic disease or something. You know, how do you embrace his promise? Well, the promise is, surely he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53 and 5. You know, and so on. You know, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So we know that. So now you claim that. You say, I know that I am healed. Praise God. Hello? You embrace that. No matter what it looks like. Praise God. I mean, you heard the testimony that Candace gave. No, she embraced the word of God that said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, that it shall be done. You know. Also, if you listen to the message, the covering anointing, I explained it clearly there. You know, that if you can get a hold and believe with your pastor on anything that you are believing God for, he will do it for you. Because that's the covering anointing. So you listen to that message on the website. You know, but I don't want to talk about that because it's not exactly about me. You know, if you can get a hold of somebody else that believes too, it works the same way. You know, so she got a hold of that promise and she believed God. And when she looked, even though it looked like, well, she looked on that day and there was no answer, it looked like. But she said, well, I believe God. No matter what, I believe God. I believe what he has spoken. I believe it shall be as it was done. You know, as it was spoken, as we agreed, as my pastor agreed with me, she said so. And lo and behold, it was exactly so. Even though she found out later, you know, by the time she looked, she saw that it had actually been approved on the very day. Yeah. that she had believed for. Hallelujah, somebody. Because God will watch over his word. If you are believing God, if you search the scriptures, and if you are persuaded that he's able to do, and if you embrace it for yourself, the next step, everybody says C. The letter C. That's for confess. You've got to confess it. How do you confess it? Well, you don't confess it in your mind. Hello? It's not in the mind. Confession is not in the mind. Confession is with the mouth. Romans chapter 10, verses 6 to 10 will tell you that. He said, look, you know, he's going to explain how confession works. It's not in your mind at all. You can believe in your mind. You can believe in your heart, but you have to confess it with your mouth. Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, you know, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead, because he is no longer there. Amen? Amen, people? Come on. Let's believe God that Jesus, you know, is no longer in the grave. And let's be excited when we hear that he's no longer in the grave. I said Jesus is no longer in the grave. But what saith the word of faith? He said, this is the word of faith. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. That's right. It is in your mouth and in thy heart. And that is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with your mouth. You got to use your mouth. Even though you believe in your heart, you say you must confess with your mouth, you know, that, you know, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from there, he said you shall be saved. Now listen to verse 10. Because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto realization. That's right. Salvation in this particular case, or realization of the promise that you are confessing. Amen, somebody. And I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible. Of course, I love the example of Abraham, because, you know, many people say he's the father of faith. Well, you know, the Lord appeared to him in Genesis 15 and told him, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And Abraham said, well, you know, if you are my shield, you are my exceeding great reward, why is it that I go childless? You know, he took advantage of the fact that the Lord visited him. Amen? When the Lord visits you, you take advantage. You get a hold of something and believe God for it right there. And he said, well, I go childless. You know, what are you going to do about it? And the Lord said, don't worry about it. And God gave him almost an eternal, everlasting promise right there. But it took Abraham how many years? 25 years to realize that promise. Hello? But the whole time, what was he doing? So one day, Abraham said, well, I am resolved in my heart how I am going to confess this promise. I'm going to change my name. That's right. He said, well, the Lord told him, well, yeah, the Lord could have told him, but he might not have believed it. You know, but he said, you know, so he announced to his friends and said, look, don't call me Abraham anymore. My name is now Abraham. Because that means the father of many nations. So he began to confess. He even changed his name. And he confessed it every single day. And he didn't even have a single child. And Abraham looked like a big fool. Because how can you be a father of nations when you don't even have one child? And who's going to carry on your generations when you don't even have a seed? But the Lord promised him a seed. Hallelujah. And because of his faith, that's why you're all sitting here today. Hallelujah, somebody. Because his faith, you know, he believed that seed. And that seed was not just in Isaac. Oh, my goodness. Oh, but that seed was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's why you are here today, sitting right here. Praise God. Abraham, he believed it. He confessed it for many, many, many years. And as he believed it, even he changed his name to prove it. And people, I guarantee you, in those days, you know, they made some fun of him and so on, you know, because, you know, if you go around and to the Jews, names mean a lot. They don't just call their name, their children, cat or dog or green or blue or white. No, no. You know, they gave important names. And the circumstances, you know, that they've been through, that's how they name, you know, that's how names were used by the Jewish nation. They know what it means. You know, so when somebody suddenly changes his name to the Father of Nations, I mean, they're like, wait a minute, Father of Nations? Wow. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be the Father of Nations? And they mocked him. You know, he said, well, you know, we always knew you were a fool, but we didn't even realize you were this stupid. But Abraham said, well, stupid or not, I believe God. Because he promised me. Hallelujah. And I'm looking for that promise. Praise God. And every day he was looking for it. It took him many, many years, and the Lord allowed that for us to learn something from today. Many, many years, you know. And but finally, he got that promise. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so now there's another story that I like. You know, this was a man called Caleb in the Bible. You know, when Joshua and Caleb and some other people were sent by Moses to go and spy out the land, they, you know, some of the other people came back with an evil report. But Caleb, he came back with a good report. And because of that, you know, of course, the Lord promised him something. And the Lord said that, gave commandment to Moses, and he said that, you know, when they go to inherit the land and so forth like that, you know, you're going to do something for Caleb because he believed the Lord, you know, with his heart. So anyway, by the time they were going to enter into the land, I'm paraphrasing the story. I don't have time to read the whole story. It was Joshua that was in charge. And Caleb came, and, you know, he pleaded his case. And I'm going to just give you the references so you can read it, but I don't have time to really, you know, to really go through it and so on. You know, but I want you to read this later on, because in the book of Numbers, in the book of Numbers, you will find out where in Numbers chapter 13, where Moses sent them to go and search the land and so forth, and they came, and some of them came back with an evil report. And in Numbers 14, you will see where, starting from verse 6, Joshua and Caleb believed the Lord, and they spoke faith that we are able to go up and take the land, because the Lord promised it. You know, they said, well, you know, the other people were looking at the giants. They said, well, there's giants in the land, and the land, you know, and so forth. They just came up with all kinds of excuses not to believe God. But, what's his name? Caleb said, well, we are able to go up and take it all at once, because the Lord is with us. Amen? He said, as a matter of fact, these people are bread for our lunch. We're going to have them for lunch. Hallelujah. I love that kind of boldness. Well, you can read it in Numbers 14 and verse 9. He said, these people are bread for us. They are nothing. Well, because the Lord is with us, we're going to take them. We can take them out. You know. So finally, you know, well, the Lord gave him a promise, but it took him 45 years. Some of you may not know that, to be able to inherit that promise. But, You can read all about it, you know, in the book of Joshua. Finally, in Joshua 14, Caleb is going to make his claim as Joshua, you know, dividing the land and so forth, and he's going to speak and say, "Look, you can read from verses 7, you know, through about 12." And he's going to tell him, he's going to remind him of the story that when everybody else doubted the Lord, you know, I believed. And the Lord spoke to Moses, the servant of the Lord, you know, to give me an inheritance. And he said to him, he said, look, he said, 40 years old was I, you know, when I went out in those days. You know, 40 years. He said, but the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. Verse 10. It took him 45 years to inherit that promise. He said, look, I was 40 years old then. Now I'm 85. and I am still as strong now as I was then to go in and out for battle, I can still get the job done. Amen. And he said, look, after all these years, I'm now ready. Give me this mountain. And I preached on that subject also. You'll find a message on the website called Give Me the Mount, This Mountain. You can listen to it. I'm sure it will bless your heart. But it took him 45 years. But the whole time, you know, he embraced that promise. Praise God. And finally, he got a hold of it. But he also, you know, now, confession. Let me quickly wrap this up on the confession part. Confession. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, thou art ensnared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by your words. So, your words are very important. You know, don't say negative things. Amen? Because if you say negative things, well, you know, I don't think that's possible. Well, it will not be possible to you. But to him that believeth, all things are possible. And also in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21, you know, you'll find out that, you know, you know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, so you can speak positive things or negative things by your tongue. But if you confess positively the word of God, you're embracing it for yourself, God will watch over it to perform it. You say God will watch over it? Absolutely. In fact, you know, God doesn't necessarily himself have to do it. He's God, he's God's angels. He's got them all assigned. You know, Psalm 103 verse 20 will tell you all about that. He said, the angels that excel in strength, they are hearkening to the voice of his word. They're looking for that voice in your mouth. Those are the angels that excel in strength. And if you can speak God's promises, if you can confess God's promises, the angels of the Lord will watch over and make sure it comes to pass. Yes. Hallelujah. That's their job, you know. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister on your behalf. You know, they know how to put things into operation by the commandment of the Holy Ones. Praise God. Praise God, somebody. But you've got to confess. Now, listen to what Mary did in the book of Luke chapter 1 when the angel came to her. Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. Of course, most people know this story. The angel came to Mary to announce that she had been chosen by the Lord, you know, to bring forth the Savior, even though she was a virgin and had never been with a man. And she wondered how these things would be, you know, but the angel said, don't worry about it. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and so on and so forth. So, verse 38. And Mary said, you know, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah, somebody. You've got to embrace that word for yourself. You know, hallelujah. And of course, you know, Jesus himself, he confessed all the time. You know, you say confess, absolutely. He would tell them ahead of time, he said, look, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. And he said, look, the Son of Man, these are the things the Pharisees will do unto him. They will betray him, he will be scourged, they will spit on him, and so forth. They will put him to death, and in 3 days, he will rise up again. Jesus himself kept confessing it. He was confessing his resurrection ahead of time. Hallelujah, somebody. Put him to death, and in 3 days, he will rise again. And the disciples never understood. He said, look, as it was in the days of Jonah, even as he was in the belly of the whale 3 nights and 3 days and so forth, so will the Son of Man. They will put him to death, but he will rise again. And he kept confessing it all the time. Hallelujah, somebody. That's how you get it done. You find a promise for it. You are persuaded that what God promised he's able to do. You embrace it that it's not just for the people in the Old Testament or the people in the Bible days or for somebody else down the street. You embrace it for yourself. And then you confess it. Hallelujah. And of course, if the promise carries a condition, all conditions, you make sure that you fulfill those conditions. Amen? Amen, people? Because God will not break his word. God will not break his word. Now, so, that's it, people. That is the anatomy of faith. That's how faith works. four simple letters put together give you the spec or specification for faith. Or specification of faith. Specs. You know, so always remember that. The specs. Now let's run through it quickly, because this is a teaching. So I want to make sure everybody gets it. What does S stand for? See the promise, and it could also mean what? Search the scriptures. So search the scriptures until you see a promise. You've got to do that. Don't waste your time praying if you don't do that. Now, if you already know the promise, that's fine. But if you don't know, then you better search the scriptures until you see a promise. Amen. And then what does P stand for? You must be persuaded that what God has promised, He also is able to do what? Perform. Amen? God is able to perform His promises. And then, what is the next thing? You embrace. Everybody say embrace. Embrace. You embrace the promise for yourself. It, you know, just embrace it. Don't think that God meant it for somebody else. You know, embrace it for yourself. Now, I've heard people say that, well, that, you know, God doesn't do those things anymore. Well, not for you, He doesn't. Amen? But for me, He does and more. And as long as you keep believing, God will keep doing for you. Remember the message last week. What is in your hand? You know, the woman, as long as she kept bringing a pot, God kept filling it. Hallelujah, somebody. You bring the pot, God will fill it. If you have a need and you believe, God will take care of it. You know, praise God. I don't worry about it at all. You know, I just believe God. Yeah, I don't care. You know, if nobody else believes, that's their problem. Or their loss, I should say. You know, I believe God. Thank you, Jesus. And then the next thing is what? Confess what you are believing. Against all odds, confess it nonetheless. And you'll find a message like that also on the website called Against All Odds. Listen to these messages. They will bless you. I listen to them all the time. I go back and listen to them all the time. You know. Confess it. Hallelujah. I know Candice was going about confessing it. You know, it looked like she was crazy, but she confessed it nonetheless. And today, she's got her testimony to prove it. Praise God. So you've got to confess the word of God. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Praise God. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. If you understand that teaching, put your hands together for the Lord if you understand it. Looking at the time there, I see that we're up on 12:30, and I want to just round this up. I had many more things to do, but that's okay. Right there. That's enough for you to get started. Praise God. You get started. Now, after today, nobody should wonder whether they have faith or don't have faith. Just do these simple steps. It's as simple as that. That's the anatomy of faith. We have broken it down. This is how it works. Just do the simple things. Don't try to wander in your mind. Just do what these things say. Praise God. Now let me give you a practical example. Well, if you are having some financial problems, then you need to go into the scriptures and find a promise. Like Philippians 4 and 19. My God shall supply. Hello? When you find that promise, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Not according to my job or the job that I don't have or just lost, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you find that promise, then you begin to use it. Now, there is also a wonderful promise that I'm going to read to you. There are many, many, many promises, and we've already preached on exceeding great and precious promises. That's also on the website. I don't have time to go into all of the promises here this morning. But I'm going to just read this one promise to you. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask. Amen? Come on, people, amen? It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Anything. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give you this testimony to help you. You know, one day I decided to take that scripture literally. You know, even though I know touching means, you know, touching doesn't necessarily mean touching. You know, it just means, you know, in connection to anything you are believing. That's what it means. But I decided to take that touching literally. You know, because, you know, by the grace of God, you know, I've learned how to do things like that. And it works for me. You know. So one day I was coming back from the Philippines with Pastor Roland after we went there. And the flight that we booked was like, you know, after we were so exhausted, we found out that we were going to wait about 8.5 hours or so in LA. And I didn't realize it at the time. And so when we got to our first layover, and I said, wow, my goodness. So we're still going to wait 8 hours when we get to LA. So I pulled up the computer and so forth. You know, I found a flight that would have been like an hour after the flight lines in LA. And I said, well, the Bible says, if two of you shall agree as touching anything, I pulled up the thing in the screen and I touched it. Hallelujah! And he, you know, Pastor Roland looked at me funny. I said, well, he did say as touching anything. So I touched that flight on the screen. I said, we're going on this flight. You know, and he said, all right, if you say so. I said, well, I say so. So we got to LA, you know, well, guess what? We had to wait. It looked like we were going to wait 8.5 hours. And as soon as we got there, you know, I said, well, you know, we want to go on the other flight. And he said, well, you guys, you know, you can't make it and all that. Your flight, you know, the luggage and all. And I said, well, we're going on that flight. So they said, well, okay, we'll see. You know, you go over there and see if you can make it. And then as we were going, there were all kinds of delays. You know, they want to check this. They want to pat you down. They want to do all kinds of things. Like, hey, I need to catch that flight. You know, and I said to Pastor Roland, I said, look, there will be 2 seats. Amen. There will be 2 seats left on that flight. You know, and sure enough, you know, after they delayed us even longer, I mean, searched everything, and they won't let us go because the devil was determined to test that word. The word of God is dry. But I said there will be 2 seats. And sure enough, when we got to the gate, you know, they said, well, the flight is almost closed, but we're waiting for, they called their name. There were 2 passengers. And they kept calling their name. I said, they are not here. Amen. Because they had the reserved seats, you know, and they were calling to say, well, you know, this is your last call. They called the person, this is your last call. I said, they are not here. We are the 2 passengers. Hallelujah. Because God always watches his word to perform it. If you can speak it and you can believe it, God will do it. That's what he said. Praise God. Lift up your hands here this morning. Hallelujah. Now let's practice what we have heard this morning. Let's practice it. The Bible says it's no use for you to hear the word of God and not do it. But when you hear the word of God, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, when you search the scriptures and you find that promise, you must put it into action. Let's put into action some things here this morning. I know we ran a little over time, but if you are believing God for something, I want you to take a minute right now. Search the scriptures or search your mind for a scripture. Some of you already know many, many promises. I already gave you a blanket scripture right now that you can use at any time. Matthew 18 and 19. You can use that at any time. Just get somebody that can believe with you. So let's practice that here this morning. We are going to do this first part, and I am going to believe with you. But you have to go through the rest of the week embracing the promise and confessing it. And then you can come back next week and give a testimony. Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah.
If that's you here this morning, I want to see your hand up. If you need something, and you know that you can practice this week, and you can go and confess every day the word of God, and you believe that God is going to do for you, let me see your hand up. I see so many hands up. That's right. Those of you that have your hands up, come out quickly and let's believe God together. Come on now. Let's believe God together. Come on now. I'm just going to put my hands in your hands. That's how we're going to do this. I am going to put my hands in your hands. Now we are activating Matthew 18 and 19. We're working on that this morning. Matthew chapter 18 and 19. Put your hand right here. Yeah, let's believe the Lord together. Now you zero in on that thing that you want God to do for you. As I come to you, I want you to zero in on what you want God to do for you. We want everybody in this church to be able to get all their prayers answered. Every time, not just once in a while, because all the promises of God are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Now, as I put my hands in your hands, I'm believing God for you. You zero in. I'm not going to stop and pray for you or anything. Just zero in on that promise and the thing that you want God to do for you. Zero in on it. Hallelujah. Just zero in on it. But I want you to go this week and confess it. You must confess it. Hallelujah. You already know how to do that. You do more of it this week. That's right. You go believing and confessing in Jesus' name. Go believing and confessing in Jesus' name. That's right. You know, even though the thing looks impossible, that's only with the human mind. There is nothing impossible with God. Hallelujah. Put your hands right here, man. And go believing and confessing the word of God this week. And let's see what God will do for you. Put your hands right here, sir. Believe. He said, any two of you, if you shall believe the Lord together, he will do it. And I believe with you. I believe and I agree with you. Put your hand right here, sir. I agree with you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Mama, put your hands right here. I agree with you, ma. God will grant what you are believing God for in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Put your hands right here. That's right. The Lord spoke to you this morning, didn't he? And you know that you can do all things. And all things are possible. Confess. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Confess it. Go believing and confessing it in Jesus' name. Go believing and confessing it in Jesus' name. God is not limited by anything except unbelief. The only thing that limits him is unbelief. Put your hands right here. Let's believe the Lord together. Go this week. Confess. Be persuaded. Embrace it for yourself. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. Put your hand right here. You believe God, all right? Oh yeah. And just confess the faith of God and he'll do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just agree with you. I agree with you, sister. Praise God. I agree with you. I agree with you. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And everybody said amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap in here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.